3. I was reminded of an awesome date night that I got to go on with Michelle the other night, and it was amazing. We got to go eat at a fancy restaurant, which we don't get to do often with kids because they're a big deterrent to having in a fancy restaurant. And then we got to go watch a movie. And the movie we ended up watching was this show called Jumanji. And it's a really kind of interesting show. It's the remake. And in this show, you have these kids that are kind of sucked into this game world. And they take on new kind of personas and new bodies and such while they're in this game world. And it's kind of funny to watch just some of the awkwardness of these teenagers having different access to different aspects of life. And just one ended up being like a skinny guy like me turned into The Rock. And I was like, wow, that'd be cool, actually. You know, like, to be rock size. But it was just interesting to see the dynamics of this life change and this idea that there was a change of life that occurred and they needed to use this change of life in order to win the game. I thought of John 3 at this point in time and the being born again aspect and just how, you know, we're born again and we take on this new life. And God is calling us to kind of head out there and win the race of life. By doing that, we're like these little kids in Jumanji where we accept this new life and we're to head out there and kind of do good for the world and win in the name of Jesus Christ. As we recall from prior weeks, we're reminded of the fallen nature of humanity. You know, we remember the fruit that Adam and Eve ate while they're in the garden. And that fruit, when they ate it, created separation from God and left a gap behind, which humanity could not overcome on its own. In the wake of the fall, we know that our body, soul, mind, and spirit were affected by the sin that was introduced to the human form. And in turning to God, we know that He has given us a new spirit, and that the source of that spirit is from Him. Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a new, fresh beginning. And it's where God sees us as a new creation, a creation that finds its origin in Him yet again. And we did discuss that a bit last week. So let's turn now to our text, John 3, looking at verses 3 to 6. And it says this. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. See, in other words, the new birth on which we experience is one that is a spiritual birth that is given to us by God. Not only that, but He continues to abide in us and make it so that the old fleshly self has no foothold to stand on in our lives. You see, if we were to look at the world as a whole, we would see that through creation, we can understand what the outcome of something will be. When we think about how procreation goes about, when a dog and another dog, like a male dog and a female dog create, they're going to create a little baby dog. Same with a cat, same with a horse. There's going to be some sort of creation that occurs that they create exactly who they were. And this is exactly what Jesus is trying to get across here with the whole flesh aspect and the whole flesh, birthing flesh. The only thing that we were capable of birthing ourselves is actually flesh. And that is something that would point towards sin. You see, we as people cannot create a spiritual life. We can't go to some weird temple and find enlightenment on our own. Nor can we retreat to nature and find ourselves as amazing spiritual beings. That's just not how it works. That which we as people produce will always be marred by the fact that we created. It'll always fall short of any perfection or any goodness whatsoever. And for me, I just think of the last time I was coloring. It's kind of funny, right? Like, you know, how all the adult coloring books all of a sudden became the craze? I was like, ooh, I'm going to give this a try and see how well I can do with it. And so I got myself a fancy little coloring book and some pencil crayons that they don't even make anymore. And I was super excited. And so I started coloring, and I realized that my skills were still as good as they were in kindergarten as I ended up outside of the lines. And I'm like, yeah, my creation is not a good creation. It is something that falls very short of perfection. It falls short of anything that God would accept as good. However, God is the one who creates this a new life in us. He's the one which Jesus states several times to us that to be born again, acts as God, allow him into your lives. And being from God means that this is a life or a new creation that is drawn to the characteristics of God himself. So when I say something like that, when we look at God's characteristics and how they're just, they can't do any wrong, they're so nice, they're perfect. That is the stuff that when the Holy Spirit is abiding in us, that we should be drawn to. It is stuff that should appeal to us and be things that we want to live like. The Holy Spirit in us being disgusted by the sinful aspect of nature as we are called by our fleshly desires. A.W. Tozer says this, "The Holy Spirit never enters a man and then lets him live just like the world that hates God." That is the real reason most people don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to live the way they want to live. That's a pretty powerful statement. The fact that we want to turn away God's presence in our life just because we think that the way we live is better than what God has in store for us. A. Tozer goes on to say this, excuse me, that the Holy Spirit must be Lord of our lives. And as I was thinking about that statement, I'm like, the Holy Spirit must be Lord of our lives. That means something greater than we actually allow him to be in most instances. So for some of us, maybe we say the prayer and we're like, Jesus, come into my heart. That'd be fantastic. And then we just sit there and we expect like Jesus or the Holy Spirit to lead us around on some sort of magical leash. And instead, that's not how that works, but we are supposed to be like, Holy Spirit, I give you more of my body. I give you more of who I am. I want you to fill me more. I remember A.B. Simpson, a guy who kind of founded the Christian Missionary Alliance. He's a guy that would desire over and over and over again to be filled with more and more of the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we allow him to have access to more of our lives, suddenly the draw and desire of the fleshly nature becomes something that is appalling and disgusting to us. One of my professor and friends, Bernie Vandewall, wrote in one of his books, "Human holiness is attained by the indwelling and manifestation of the life of Christ, the Holy One. The holiness of humanity is nothing other than the holiness of Christ himself. Through the believer's intimate union with Christ, the holiness of the one who resides within infuses the one who hosts it." We're this new creation, and we become that because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And it brings us back to the point that we've been hounding kind of on for the last few weeks, that there is nothing significant that we really bring to the table when it comes to our salvation. The only thing we really do is say, yes, Jesus, I believe. And through that, we are given salvation. When John writes about flesh, here's what flesh would have meant back then, because flesh nowadays kind of, it points towards our physical body, right? When we talk about flesh, it'll even talk about kind of the meaty part, maybe on the inside, like our muscles kind of thing. That's what flesh would mean for us today. But flesh in biblical terms is one that it's the whole person. And it could mean body, soul, mind, and spirit. But not only that, but after the fall occurs, it refers to the pulling of an individual towards the sinful nature. So this is the thing that Jesus is talking about at this point in time, is flesh versus flesh. That which is like sinful in nature that draws us towards it, that is all we can really birth, is that sinful nature. It reminds me of like the kid in the candy store who has no money and no one watching him. And can you, I was a bad kid. I remember being the kid in the candy store with no money at times, and you head over to the bulk section, and you're just like, it's bulk. Yoink. And you just eat right out of the bulk bin. And it's crazy. But this is exactly how we are. We have that temptation that pulls us there. It's that little candy, the little cola bottles, which I still really love, the gummy cola bottles. And it draws us to that. Something so small and insignificant. It's that fleshly, carnal aspect. The thing that isn't really going to bring us fulfillment. I can't really say that the last time I had one of those gummy cola bottles, I was satisfied afterwards, like, yes, my life is complete. Right? That's just, it doesn't work that way. The fleshly nature is something that's going to call us to something that's insignificant. It's going to call us to something that draws us away from God. It's going to draw us away from the Holy Spirit. And that is something that is unacceptable. When I think about this as well, I also think about the nature of the tug of war. I always sucked at the tug of war, and looking at me, you're like, yeah, I can understand why. And it's just like the skinny, extremely skinny factor just doesn't play good in the tug of war at all. But it's winning is still something that I wanted to do. You know, in the tug of war, you're trying to get that center marker that's on the rope onto your side of the playing field. So you're like, yeah, I'm a winner. I was able to pull a rope harder than someone else. But in that same fashion, the sinful aspect, the fleshly aspect is pulling us in this tug of war of life. And it's pulling us away from the Holy Spirit who's holding on for us. And the real sad part in this battle of tug of war is when we're standing there, we're kind of looking at the whole tug of war go down as this battle's going on. And we're like, ooh, which side am I going to choose? And that kind of determines what the winner is going to be, because we end up tripping up the Holy Spirit or pushing him off of our team, and we're like, yeah, no, I'm gonna pick the fleshly way. Oh, look, the marker crossed the line. And we continue to allow that fleshly aspect win instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to take the victory for us. Our birthing of flesh continues as we continue to just birth this sinful nature, the sinful desires that pull us away from who Jesus wants us to really be. You see, our fleshly nature can never be pleasing to God. And if we go through our scriptures, here's some passages. Look these up on your own if you have time to write them down. I'm sorry, I've got them here. I'm just not going to read them to you. But it's Psalms 51:5 and Ephesians 4:22, Jeremiah 17:9, Mark 7:21 to 23, and 1 Corinthians 2:14. These are all verses that describe us. They describe me and they describe you. They describe every human being since the fall that tore us away from God. And our sinful human nature is one that pursues the fleshly nature. It pursues that which takes us away from God. Excuse me. We can produce nothing other than sinful human nature or that of the flesh. A.B. Simpson puts the Spirit-filled life this way. Being filled with the fullness of God is like a bottle in the ocean. You can take the cork out of the bottle and sink it into the ocean, and you have the bottle completely full of ocean. The bottle is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the bottle. The ocean contains the bottle, but the bottle contains only a little bit of the ocean. So it is with a Christian. You see, our lives need more of God and less of the human nature and less of that fleshly desires. Hence, Jesus is telling us that we need to be born again. We need to be born again by his Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to be like that silly, like maybe we wouldn't even be a very good bottle if we corked ourselves too quickly and we were thrown in the ocean and we allow nothing in, but we have just a teeny tiny little bit of the ocean in us. We don't allow it to flourish by letting all of the ocean into us, thus giving room for nothing else to be in there with us. And this is the idea of what sanctification kind of looks like. It's this process that we go through as we take on more of Jesus Christ, more of his Holy Spirit, and we have less of ourselves. So in terms of the bottle, it is allowing ourselves to be completely filled slowly by the Holy Spirit instead of allowing ourselves to be filled by the poisonous, fleshly, human nature. I think about all the self-help books that are out there nowadays, or the many religious groups that tell us enlightenment is easily ours for the taking. And any attempt to make ourselves look better than we are without the efforts of the Holy Spirit would end up looking like the repainting of a well pump. Can you picture this? If there's like stagnant, nasty, poisonous water that like you got a pump for and it pumps this water out, you're like, oh, that serves no purpose, right? Most people would probably agree with that and be like, yeah, we don't want to pump the stagnant, nasty water. You want the fresh water. You want the good stuff. But can you imagine, and this is what some church people do, okay? This is what some church people do. They would take the pump and they would paint it and make it look all nice, right? A new coat of paint makes everything look nice. It looks good. All right. The pump's looking fancy. And you know what? Maybe we can even attach some cool accessories to it. A gold handle. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't want a gold handle for their pump? It would be amazing to just continually design this thing. We could put, like, maybe some of Van Gogh's art. Just hang that on there. And maybe this pump is so fancy looking and so amazing looking that people will be like, I'm going to write a poem about that pump. It's pretty cool. Or maybe I'm going to draw like a fancy, I don't know, illustration of the pump. You don't want me doing that because I can't even color in the line. But they just have this desire to take this pump and make it look nice. But the pump, unfortunately, is still a water pump that pumps out dirty, nasty water. And for some of us as Christians, we sit here and we're like, okay, I need to figure out at this point in time, am I a pump that just like designs itself and makes it look nice? Or am I a pump and like continue to pump out the nasty water? Or am I a pump that desires to pump out fresh, living water provided by the Holy Spirit? Is that the type of pump that we need to be? We don't need to put all the fancy bells and whistles on our pumps. We don't need to make ourselves look better. And sometimes we do that when we go out there and we volunteer here or there with no actual, like, you know, you're just doing it to look good. Or maybe you want to dress the nicest in church. I stink at that, but, you know, maybe you want to dress the nicest. You're like, I can't wait to wear my tuxedo t-shirt and be excited by that. Right, Shane? Right, that's, you know, all right, good stuff. We want to be a people that pump out pure water to people who are thirsty for pure water. They don't want to just see a cosmetic church. They don't want to see a church that is just pumping out the same old filth that the world pumps out. They want to see that we're accessing our water from pure, refreshing water. Jesus teaches us that the new birth, it's a permanent thing. And in this new birth, there's a permanent change in the life of us as individuals. So the question we need to continue to ask ourselves, is there new life in us? Does our lives show the change that we should be found in the Holy Spirit? Our lives should be spirit-filled lives. And this is the life that Jesus talks about with Nicodemus. This is the life that he desires for us to have. We cannot save ourselves through our own efforts, as our efforts produce human results. That's why we must be born again. As new birth is one that is born out of God, and that is something that produces God's results. We have this new nature in this new birth. And it's something that we get even closer to as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what happens to our old fleshly nature? It's something that we toss around sometimes, even as theologians, as Christians. Some of us, some theologians believe out there that once you accept Jesus into your life, that old fleshly nature and desire goes away immediately. That's an interesting perspective. However, if this was the case, why in our new birth do we still stumble or sin? Romans 7:18 says this, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." That's Paul talking about sinful desires that he was still experiencing. This is a guy that writes some amazing letters and just, he goes out there and preaches. Although according to the Corinthians, this guy's probably not a very good preacher, but he goes out there and he preaches to people and does an amazing job and converts people to who Jesus is. You see, that sinful nature still kind of holds on to us as we accept Christ into our lives. And we turn back once again to the bottle analogy or the tug of war. And we're just like, which side are we jumping on? Or how much water, how much of the Holy Spirit are we allowing into our lives? It's a daily battle that occurs within us. And we battle back and forth between our fleshly nature and the nature of the Holy Spirit. And supposedly, if you're following Christ properly, over time, we should choose more and more of the Holy Spirit and less of the fleshly aspect. That should be the desires for us as Christians. We should want more of who he is and less of who we are. God, in the end, he has broken the power to our fleshy ways. And in Colossians 3:5-6, it says this, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." You see, we have the ability through accessing the Holy Spirit and turning towards him to overcome the fleshly pulls that we have. If I gave into my fleshly ways, I wouldn't be going on a trip to Fiji, right? If you read my email recently, I am not a big fan of flying. Flying is not something that entertains me. As I went through my training program at the airport, we were forced to sit through videos of planes doing things they shouldn't. And so it kind of traumatizes you and takes you into a new thought process of what planes really are. But my fleshly nature would be like, oh, gross, I don't want to fly, that's nasty. Or gross, like, can you imagine the size of the bugs that are potentially out there? They got to be pretty massive. This is a tropical paradise. I'm glad there's not many birds from what I hear, so I'm like, yeah, right on. Let's rejoice in that. But the fleshly aspect of me would be like, oh, I definitely don't want to go on this trip. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was kind of prodding me in that way. And I'm like, really? Really, God? Is this something that we got to do? Is this something that you want to take me down? And the more I thought about it and prayed about it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be fun times. You know, with kids, watching Mike run around in like a dress. It's going to be amazing. And who wouldn't love to be a part of something like that? But the flesh is something that just wanted me to stumble. And I had to give room for the Holy Spirit to work in me. One last thing. I want us to think about it this way. You see, the more we invite of the Holy Spirit into our lives, the more cleansing we're going to have. Hopefully you guys kind of get that concept. If I were to take, for instance, my ginger ale, let's say this is like nasty, disgusting water. And I take pure, amazing clean water and start running it through here, eventually that nasty water is going to overflow out. And there's going to be no room for it in there, and the clean water is going to take over. So it should be with our lives as we allow more of the Holy Spirit in there and as we display the fruits of the Spirit, allowing ourselves to be like the water pumps who shoot out pure water instead of gross water, or to be a cup of refreshing water that turns towards the Holy Spirit. Because clean water is better than dirty water. And the Holy Spirit and the what he has for our lives, it is far better than anything our flesh could ever provide. Even tickets to a hockey game that you miss a text for.